wanted to get into is your journey on bodybuilding and diet, the exercise, what it was like day-to-day basis going through that.
Had to learn how to actually eat for fat loss. Like, you're going to be hungry. There's no real way around it. I kind of rushed the process. My coach was even telling me, like, you should take like a 12-week maintenance. I feel like I could have pulled a better look. I was on stage with a bunch of people who are like 24 was like the youngest. I'm an unfinished package. Eventually that I'm going to get that pro card.
Mr. Olympia.
I'm not hopping on. Staying natural. It is enjoyable and it's easy to like watch TV. Keep the distracted people distracted.
That's what it's made for.
Ulcerative colitis situation. It took a toll on me.
If you were to put bacteria in your stomach, does it attack that?
Me and Georgia grew up in Georgia. We had a cow. My grandma would milk the cow. We were kids and we were drinking it. The thing I noticed with people growing up in a different country than America, less problems in terms of health. Sometimes if you eat meat in your stomach for days. You can either argue about opinions or how it is. Many foods such as breads and cereals have been fortified with some nutrients.
Let's start eating Lucky Charms instead of steak.
People get into how it makes me feel rather than like what's actually good for your gut.
You're gonna scare a lot of people off if you bring up this kind of stuff.
If money was not involved or not a factor, what would you do for the rest of your life to find happiness?
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bros Think Big. We got Lance in the house. Welcome, Lance.
Thank you guys.
How you doing, bro?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you guys again for having me on for the second time. It's amazing.
Thank you for coming, bro. Lance, for some of you that don't know, he has been a previous guest on our podcast. He's a 21-year-old pro bodybuilder I would say a pro bodybuilder.
Unfortunately.
Getting started.
We're gonna try to get a pro bodybuilding card. Naturally.
A bodybuilder and a personal trainer. So, Lance, welcome again, and thank you for being here, bro.
Thank you, guys.
What we wanted to get into is your journey on bodybuilding and what it took, kind of, to, you know, compete, because it's a hard process. Mm-hmm. I would imagine going through the diet, the exercise, cutting that much weight, being so lean, shredded, is just very hard mentally and physically too. You talked about this the previous podcast too, but dive deep into your mindset on what it was like day-to-day basis going through that, bro.
Yeah, of course. So I guess I'll just start with actual prep now, because when I was first on the podcast...
Can you get a little bit closer?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. When I was first on the podcast, I was talking a lot about pre-prep fat loss because I was actually on prep the first time. So now it's nice because I get to reflect on like the entire experience as a whole. Now,
what's a pre-prep fat loss?
Yeah, so pre-prep fat loss is important because as a natural, you know, you can't really just hop into a full-fledged bodybuilding prep right away.
Yeah.
Because I was at such a high body fat percentage at the time, I bulked up to all the way to 186.
What percent would you say?
I said I was at like 17% body fat at 186. And like my goal I wasn't obese.
For your height and everything.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm 5'7", so I got up to 186. I was feeling full. And at that point, you know, I was starting to store the fat. And it was like I was getting uncomfortable with how I was looking. And I was like, okay, now's the time to actually start. Because I wanted to get to 200, right? But I feel it was very important not to chase just a number on a scale, but instead go for a look that I wanted to achieve. And then once I was at 186, my body was really pushing me. I was feeling sick, out of breath, walking up the stairs. Like it was just like getting too much. So first time we bumped down the calories, and this is my first official like fat loss phase ever. So that's another important reason why I needed to do pre-prep and then go into maintenance break and then start actual prep. Because if I just immediately went into straight prep, like 16 to 24 weeks, from never cutting before, that's going to be an awful experience for me because I've never even cut before. I was always a skinny kid, like trying to bulk up, always trying to eat more and get big. So this being my first fat loss phase, there's a lot of different techniques that I had to, learn how to do. I needed to learn how to actually eat for fat loss, like switching out, you know, instead of like four eggs in the morning, mixing in egg whites, like leaner options, and like timing my meals in a way where like you're going to be hungry when you're in a deficit. There's no real way around it, but there's a difference between like hunger and like, you know, being like satisfied. You want to be satisfied and you want to eat foods that make you satisfied. So that's kind of what pre-prep fat loss was about. It was getting to 180 from 186 down to 160, 164, like back to my normal weight. And then what we do is we take maintenance. So maintenance is just like giving you a break from the actual diet itself. Now, I kind of rushed the process. My coach was even telling me like, hey, we should take like a 12-week maintenance, you know, and like really like reset, push like actual training, try to grow some muscle, because you can grow in a little bit of maintenance, you know, but you can't really grow when you're in a as harsh of a deficit as I was in, because especially you need
to maintain that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're just maintaining muscle. So I feel like I could have pulled a better look if I ended up not rushing it. So if you guys ever think about competing, or anyone watching this who's competing in bodybuilding for the first time, you cannot rush it. I made that mistake, and now the people that I'm actually coaching for bodybuilding prep, I'm giving them, one of my guys was like 28 weeks when we started prep, and he was already looking like really lean. Yeah, because you have to, especially for your first time, you have to account for so many things to go wrong, you know, like things that happen in your life that you're not expecting. You know, I actually had like a UC flare up last year around the same time, but they didn't diagnose me because it went away so quickly. But it's like certain things like
and
that.
And what is that?
So ulcerative colitis, okay. And which I'll get into that, yeah, once we get past the whole body.
I definitely
thing.
Want to talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. That was the most recent thing with me. So anyways, back to prep. So I went to obviously Costa Rica, told you guys that was like, I had like a good 4 weeks of maintenance when I should have pushed 8 to 12 weeks.
Well, what's your training like during the process of maintenance?
A little bit more volume, a little bit more intensity, and a little bit more focus on, like, you know, the muscles that I need to bring up. So say my legs, my delts. It's, you don't really switch much when you enter a bulk or if you enter a deficit. That's the thing. Like, my training maintains pretty consistent year round.
What's your go-to split, you think?
I like a PPL, push-pull legs. And what I ran the entire prep was actually an upper, lower, upper, lower, upper. Which I really enjoyed that too. I'm a big fan of the upper lower split.
Why'd you change that during the prep?
I needed something new. No, I needed something new. Yeah, I was like, coach, like, I'm getting kind of bored of training. Can we do a little something new? So I've been running the PPL for so long too, and we were like,
it's good for the body too to switch it up.
Oh, 100%.
Your muscles and your body gets used to the same workouts, and then your muscle growth is actually not as good as when you switch things up, mm-hmm, because now your body's just going through a different phase. It actually helps you to grow more muscle. And I've noticed that.
Yeah, and it's great. And I believe, especially as you become a more advanced trainer, that you should like have quarterly goals of what you want to bring up, especially in a off season, you know, and off seasons for naturals can be anywhere from like 1 to 2 years. Mine's going to be a good year at least before I even think about cutting. And that's because it's like, you need to take advantage of that surplus and that phase, even if it's such a slow process. It's not about the time. It's about the look you're trying to achieve. You know, I'm 21. I was on stage with a bunch of people who are like 20, 24 was like the youngest, you know? So you have so much time. I'm an unfinished package. I have so many different things that I need to bring up, but I have all the time in the world. You know, it just takes consistency, and I'm in love with the process. So I'm not worried about how I look at the moment as much as I used to be. Just because I know that I'm going to be okay, and I know I'm going to bring my best, and I know eventually that I'm going to get that pro card. You know, I'm hungry for it. It's going to take time.
Mr. Olympia.
No, I'm not hopping on. I'm staying natural.
Because in order for you to,
I would have to hop on steroids.
He has to be on steroids.
Yeah.
So that's not your plan.
Our boy Liz is not going to do that, right?
I want to have a long, fulfilling life, man. Like, yeah. I love bodybuilding, but I don't love it so much to the point where I would sacrifice years and years off my life. And to get to an Olympian level, you have to sacrifice so much in your life. And I just can't do that, especially when I want to have kids and I want to travel the world as much as I do. It's like, I would shift.
You have different plans.
Yeah, I just have different plans, and bodybuilding is a part of it, but I'm staying natural. Obviously, like, I would like to take natural bodybuilding far, but not so much the
You're definitely
going to
do it again, right?
Oh, definitely.
Do you have a plan when you're going to do it, or not yet?
I can say late 2026 or early 2027. Okay, that's my range right now, and I'm, you know, it's going to take a while, so you can't expect to see me on stage anytime soon, but that's because I'm going to be building, and, you know, I experienced the setback with the autoimmune conditions, so, you know, I'm just got to work back from it. It's not the biggest deal in the world, you know. I was really upset about it at first, because when you get knocked down from, like, where I was, like, finally at 165, now I'm going to start pushing calories, everything's feeling great, training's amazing, and then, boom, everything like that in your life can just switch. And
yeah, that fast.
When you know, just does that fast, man. And then one moment you're in the ER, and then they send you home with antibiotics. I take the antibiotics, doesn't work, back in the ER. Like, come on, man, this should have been resolved a lot quicker. And the healthcare system, man, I have so many opinions on that, but they just like, they just don't see you as a person a lot of the time. You know, you're just like, you're a number to them. You're a statistic. It's yeah, just bro, like,
that's actually scary. And it's so true.
It is, man. Cause they didn't even, you know, I was like, can I get a CAT scan? And they were like, no, antibiotics, you know, you're a young guy. You shouldn't really experience this. See, you probably don't have ulcerative colitis. And then like, I have to suffer for another week. Yeah, I have to suffer because I come back in a lot of pain. And then they do a CAT scan and my entire colon's inflamed.
It's like
yeah.
a quick way to get rid of someone basically, right?
Yeah, exactly, man. It's just like, home, take come on. And then the medical bills are going to come in. That's a whole different thing. You know, it just like stinks. These little like setbacks.
It's like, but they focus on the symptom and not the actual problem, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But I want to get back into
the actual problem, not the symptom.
No, they focus on like the symptoms from the problem, yeah. not the actual problem causing the symptoms. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
You said, okay, vice versa.
But I want to get back into the bodybuilding before, you know, that whole timeline before I get into that whole ulcerative colitis situation, because I feel like that's
Why did you start bodybuilding the competition in the first place?
I'm a naturally competitive person. Mm-hmm. I feel like in every aspect of my life, it kind of just like runs, at least with my brother. My brother and I are really competitive people, so I got that from him as well. Mm-hmm. Like nice. When it comes to tennis, you know, I was freshman year, I was bottom of the totem pole, and then I worked my way up to, you know, second singles. And I think a big thing with me is I've always felt like I was second or third place. And especially with bodybuilding, like that really ignites the fire under, you know, my ass to get working. Because when I placed fifth, you know, it hurt, but at the same time, that's more of a reason to work, you know? Like, I'm surrounded by people who've been doing this for so much longer, people who have, like, you know, I'm not going to blame genetics, but a huge part of bodybuilding is genetics, and I think I have fairly good structure. Like, I'm not going to say I have bad genetics by any means. I'm very blessed with I'm very blessed with the body I was given, but, you know, there's just freaks out there. There's just freaks out there that if they show up to your show, you can't compete, bro. But that's like another thing. Like I want to be first place in something. I want to finally achieve, especially something as passionate as bodybuilding, you know, and just like fitness in general. I want to be proud of myself. Not just like I am proud of myself where I'm at, but it's that constant like hunger for more. And I feel like that's a problem with most ambitious people is that we always want more, you know. It takes time to really sit down where we're at and be happy, because I will literally be like, I'm a failure. Like, I'm 21. Why haven't I done this yet? Why haven't I done this yet? And people look around me and they're like, dude, you're doing great for 21. But I'm like, if I constantly tell myself, oh, I'm doing so great right now, it's like, then I'm going to start to get comfortable. And the last thing I want to do is get comfortable. And I think that's an important lesson.
Oh, yeah,
100%. And everyone here understands that. It's like, we don't want to get comfortable, because as soon as we get comfortable, we blink and it's 30 and we're just like sitting on our couch, just like watching TV when we're older. And I'm just like, that's not the life I want to live. Like, I understand, like it is enjoyable and it's easy to like watch TV. Like I'll watch like a movie with my girlfriend or watch TV with my girlfriend. It's like, it's not a bad thing, but when it distracts you from what you need to do in your life, then it's a terrible thing. It's a cheap distraction. And yes. And same with the
that's what it's made for. I mean, at the end of the day,
exactly.
Yeah,
man.
Like it's all entertainment.
Yeah, keep the distracted people distracted, you know. Yeah. and you know, with cheap entertainment, all you got to do is give a guy like cheap entertainment, sex, and a stable income job, and a lot of them will forget and throw out their entire goals out the window. And that's a sad truth of reality. Like, you can have those things, but I don't believe that men should acquire those things and then completely forget about everything. Especially when people have kids, they'll completely, you know, they say they'll die for their kids, but they won't live for them. You know, they won't continue to be the best person for their kids. And they end up, these guys end up using their kids as the reason why they can't stay in shape or the reason why they can't get better. Like, when I have a kid, that's going to be the reason why I need to be more of like a man, more of a provider for my family, you know, because it's like,
you influence them.
Exactly. Your kid's a shadow of you, dude. And if you are a dad who just like scrolls reels all day, you know, that's not something your kid's going to want to see. You know, your kid's not going to want to come home to, you know, a fat, lazy dad who's just drinking alcohol and, you know, staring at a television or a screen. It's like, he wants to see a dad who can run around with him, play with him. And that's a big reason for why, one, I want to stay natural, and two,
you want to be that?
Yeah, I want to be healthy. You know, I want to take care of my cardiovascular health. I want to just overall be a man for my family, you know, just in a traditional sense. I think it's so important for guys to live up to that expectation. And especially in this generation, dude, where that traditional sense is like almost fading of like what really is like a man, you know, like what is a man? You know?
And it's frowned upon too. It's like, oh, you want to be a traditional man, this and that, toxic masculinity, all these kind of stuff that they blame on the traditional man. Like, I guess, blame it on the concept of being a traditional man. And I'm so, like, glad that you mentioned that part where, you know, the kids just see, whatever the kids see, they just do it. They don't consciously think, oh, should I do this or not? Is scrolling good or bad? It's like, if the parent does it, it's automatically good for them. Until they, you know, reach the age where they're already thinking about things such as, okay, is it right for me to do this or is it wrong? Or how do I see other people react to this? Other than that, they're just a sponge that just absorbs a bunch of water, in this term, information. Whatever they see, they just completely do it and copy that. So you would not want to do anything around your kids that, you know, they would grow up and then become that person. You know what I mean? And it's the realization point that is difficult in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
How did you come to that understanding? When did you come to that understanding?
That's a good question. I like that question. I'm trying to think of when I actually
When did you change that perspective to that serious? Because you would be surprised. I think very few people have that understanding.
Yeah, I guess this came to a reflection of, like, I guess how I was raised. And I believe that I was raised, well, I was raised to be a man in the traditional sense, I would say. But at the same time, it's like I come home and I just see my parents and they're not motivated. They're not driven. They just, like, it almost seems like they're just, like, in the saddest way possible, like withering away, you know? And it's a hard topic to bring up, obviously, because I appreciate my parents for everything they've done. And, you know, I still, like, live with them and it's great, but it's just like
the spark is, like, missing almost.
Yeah. Like they're just like that, you know, they're in pain, knee pain, back pain, all this different pain. And they don't exercise. They don't move. They don't really eat all that well. And I've tried to help and it just doesn't seem to work. So that's kind of my drive to not be that parent for my kid. Like, I need my kid to feel inspired when they look at me, instead of being like, I don't want to be like them, you know, because I can't. Truth is, I don't want to be like my parents when I'm older. And
that's fine.
Yeah, I think that's a completely okay thing, as much as it sucks.
Sure.
But that's my drive and that's my realization, that I cannot be like that, because I was around that, you know. I'm currently around that, and it was more of just like as I aged, like when I became 18 or whatever, I kind of like realized that, like, wow, what a awful, not awful, but lame life to live, when you could have everything in the world, you know, and like you could travel, you know, you don't need all this money in the world to have a great life. And I'm a big, like, component of that, like a nice, like, living wage for me. And I would be comfortable, but I probably want to take it farther. It would be like a nice, like, 300K a year, which is, like, already, like, you're pretty set, man. You know, you don't have to really go that much more. It's just like, I just want to travel. I want
to
be free.
Because then you end up chasing money to get more, but then you're missing out on the time that you could actually spend with your family, traveling, whatever your goals are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think greed is such a killer in the society where people are so filthy, stinking rich when they really, truly do not need all that money, you know? It's just like there's people suffering in the world when I understand, like, yeah, like, if you work hard, you can get out of it. But so many people start from such a different standpoint where I believe that, like, you don't need all that money, you know? And the greed is, like, the reason our society is so, like, screwed up.
1 second, Lance. What happened?
Start fresh on a new question.
You can continue what you were talking about if you want.
Yeah, dude, I'm actually glad that you mentioned that part, because one of the motivating factors for me was also just seeing how my parents lived their life and stuff. And even though it's a personal thing, I think it's important that we mention that, because at the end of the day, we really share that, all of us, one way or another. Is you see your parents and you either like become like them, knowing that it's not going to be the best lifestyle, or you choose to go on a different path. And both of them are hard. One is just hard in the process. The other is just a regret, in my opinion. So it's like, one, you either realize that you know, on your deathbed or when you're older and you just realize that, you know, you just chose complacency and you got comfortable and you just weren't brave enough to take the risk, especially as a man, it's going to be even harder, in my opinion. Or you understand that the process will be difficult, very difficult, but you will get through it, right? Mm-hmm. With the help of God, as well as just, you know, the drive to be better. That's just, you got to have that fire within. Every man should want to strive to be better. Oh, there's just no reason for you to get comfortable and say, I am best where I am, when you know that other people around you, and especially with social media, dude, we can see so many people doing well in their life. And that should just give you an understanding, not just the drive alone, but just an understanding that there is somebody out there that has done it through the difficulty. So you're not alone in this. You just have your own process, your own difficulties of just going through stuff. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
You know, that's actually a good point that you bring up, is other people have been through it. And that kind of comes to like surrounding yourself with people who have been through the struggles like that. Because, man, like, I have had to sacrifice so many people in my life now, and like sacrifice as in like, you just don't hang around them. You don't be around them. You could be friends with them. You lose so many friends in the process, and it's okay. I feel like people are so afraid of losing the friends and making it a lonely road, but all you really need is like two, three really good people in your life that strive to be better, and also like aren't your yes men. And I think that's an important thing, is like you need that one friend who will come up to you and be like, you can do better right now, or you could improve on this. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they celebrate your wins with you, you know, and they push you to be a better person. And that's like, I only really talk to or hang around like maybe three or four people. It's just like, but that's all I need, and I'm happy. You know, you don't need to be surrounding yourself with a ton of low quality people who are just like demeaning or always down you or put you under. It's like, you're just going to become like that person. When you are surrounded by a bunch of garbage, you're going to be a garbage. If you're surrounded by a bunch of alcoholics, like four alcoholics, you're going to be the fifth alcoholic, man.
Maybe, but not so soon, but eventually. Yeah, but eventually, it's so true.
Exactly. Like, you become that person, you morph into that person. That's why I say it's important to be around guys like you, because what's something we all have alike? We all have business in mind. We're all taking care of our health. Yeah. We all have mindset, like that focus. Everything. Yeah, it's all mindset and everything. And like, if we like, say, live together, could you imagine like just how crazy it would be living with someone who's just like you? The pantry would be a bunch of like great foods, and it's like, it's tough living.
Bro, I love it. Everything.
Everybody's just,
we're just working, and we're surrounded by such positive energy. So that's the biggest piece of advice I could give anyone, is surround yourself with people who are either better than you or like you. Because if you're like, you know, I was around people who I didn't look up to, dude. It's like, I don't want to be like you. If you're looking at someone, you wouldn't want to trade lives with them. It's just like, then don't be with them. You know, and I don't say that because the people that I am around, I wouldn't want to trade lives with them. But I mean, would you be happy if you were in their position? Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of how I look at it. Right. Because I like my life. I think I live a nice life. It's a great life. I got no real complaints. It's just, would I be okay if I was to switch in their shoes and be living their, you know, their job?
You'd be uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, it's just like, so I wouldn't like that. And then
that's just comes down to standards too, because if you were to put yourself in their shoes, like, you would feel so uncomfortable versus them, who they are comfortable. And that's just like the difference in standards.
Mm-hmm. And then you also have the people who you would be friends with who envy you. And envy in a bad way, where like if you share a celebration, they just don't care, or they look at it and they're just like, okay, well, just do better now. And I'm just like, okay, bro. Like, you're done. You know, you're done for my life, because I can't even celebrate a win with you. And if I do, I'm just gonna feel like it wasn't worth it, and I have to push harder. And you know, it's just like,
it's how are you gonna share a low with that type of person?
Yeah, exactly.
Think about it.
Exactly, man. And it's okay to share your lows.
That's usually when the real friends are revealed too. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. Oh, 100%. No, it's such an important thing, and I wouldn't be where I'm at if I didn't have such a good support system when it comes to coaches. And and I think every guy who wants to get better needs to get a coach, whether it's a fitness coach, whether it's a business
some
coach.
Kind of mentor.
Yeah, some kind of mentor. And you don't even have to like pay for them, man, but something, just someone talk that to you them, listen. Right? Yeah, listen.
Be in their circles.
Exactly. Be in their circle, network, get to know these people, because you want to look for people who are in a better situation than you. And then you want to learn from them. Yeah, being completely transparent with you guys, I've spent over $30,000 in education that wasn't college. And I've made it all back, you know, and it's,
wow, nice.
You know, it's
you because, made more, right?
Yeah, made more, you know, and it's like, it's a sacrifice, obviously, but it's learning. You know, I don't care about how much I have that I can pull from right now, because I would just want to sink it all back in. You know, I want to sink it all back in. Like, I could technically, if I wanted to, just like save up, get a flashy car. And like, I was going to, I was like, I'm going to get like a 2024 Mustang GT this year. Mm. But now I'm like, I thought about it and I was like, why would I do that? What's that going to do for me? You know, what's that going to do for me except being like, oh, I have a car now. Like, look at me. Like, no, bro, I don't have much to show. I really don't. Yeah. I drive a Camry. And
gets
like,
you from A to B.
Yeah, exactly. It gets me there. And I know I will be at a point where like, okay, like I'm saving away like a little bit every month. Like, there will be a point where I do get it and it'll be cool. But I don't have to flex anything. What I have to flex is the clients that I work with, the people that I get to surround myself with.
And change their lives.
Oh my God, man. I'm, you know, it's blowing up right now, dude. I'm working with so many people right now and they're just great. Like, I'm so happy with the current group of people that I'm working with, because they're all just like, they're all striving to get more and just like push themselves, and they see the value in it, and they're communicating. And I've never like seen such a group of guys, because I've always wanted to work with driven men who want to take it to the next level. And I feel like I finally built a community of it. Like, I enrolled like two people last week, and what was the first thing that I did, or the first thing that they did when they got into the program, was they in the general chat of our Slack group, which is like where the group communicates, where we have our calls, they were like, hello, my name is like blank, and I'm here. I joined the program to achieve this, this, and that. It's great to meet all of you. And I'm like, that inspires me to build this community even further. And you know, you'll get some outliers. Like, I'll have some, like, I don't advertise or like market towards women, but like, women will join my program and they'll do amazing, you know, and they do great. Like, I'm working with a this girl Gracie, and she's like female bodybuilder, but she's like a firefighter and she does all this other stuff on the side, but is still kicking butt. Like, that is the type of person that I want to work with. You know, we don't want to work with lazy people who don't want anything. And that's another thing, like, a lot of coaches, they charge so cheap. And you get cheap people. Mm-hmm. You get really cheap people because they don't see the value in it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm willing to spend so much to, especially with business, because I see the value in it. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make that investment back. Even if I only like profit like $2,000 to $3,000, like, that's still something. And I have the knowledge and the skills now to, if I ever go off without them, which I will, obviously, I'll be fine, because I studied, I did the work. And again, I'm not perfect all the time, but you know, it's just like slowly chipping away at like what I need to work on. You know, no one's perfect. I mean, especially with this whole ulcerative colitis situation, which I guess we can dive into this now, that took a toll on me. And not
can you
just
describe it real quick, what it is.
Yeah. Okay. So ulcerative colitis is basically an autoimmune disorder. So that kind of runs in the family. So there's no real thing that causes it. It's all genetic. It's all genetics. And my brother, like, he could possibly have Crohn's disease. He just like doesn't know, but he has like stomach issues, and or not stomach, but like small intestine, large intestine. So ulcerative colitis, what it is it's the large intestine, so the colon. And basically your body mistakes it's like your immune system mistakes, I guess, the gut or the bacteria in that gut or just something as an enemy. So it starts attacking itself. And that results in, like, you know, terrible battle. Yeah, like very bad, like, urges to use the bathroom, and it's just so uncomfortable, and my lower
like
stomach
inflammation
was in pain.
Going
oh
on,
yeah,
right?
It's inflammation.
So it if just, you were to eat, you can't like eat like certain fermented foods then?
No, I'm honestly, I think it's important that you can, because I mean, I'm going to hop on a medication, a treatment called Skyrizi soon. Literally like next
think
week.
It's better to eat fermented.
No,
you want to take care of your gut.
Like, when you said like you, when you have bacteria in your stomach, your body sees that as like an enemy. So it's like if you were to put good bacteria in your stomach, does it attack that?
No. So like basically it really doesn't matter. You should be taking care of your gut. Mm-hmm. And like I've tried, like I've been eating more like pre and probiotic foods, and it's important because either way, you know.
Raw milk?
No, I'm not. I never really tried raw milk. I'm not. Maybe you should. I'm not really on that. Because I mean, there's so many conflicting things, and I'm not trying to get sick again. You know, I mean, I'm fine with the milk that I'm drinking now, and I'm trying to cut a little loose on dairy too, because that could be a possible problem. Yeah, like it could be, but I really like cheese.
Everyone's body is different too. Everyone, it's why you have to kind of like test things out.
That's the thing, man. Everyone's body is so vastly different, and it's so hard to give one person one thing. Like people will swear by carnivore, but I don't think I could ever do carnivore. I think fiber and veggies are really important for micronutrients and just like longevity in general. It's just like, oh, these are all trends, man. You know, it's all trends that people want to hop on because they think it's cool or they'll get good results. At the end of the day, eat more if you're going to gain weight, just slightly, or eat less if you want to lose weight, just slightly. Like all of these carnivore diets, keto diets, blah, 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 are just a way to get you in a calorie deficit. There's nothing inherently special about them. Fasting, nothing really inherently special about it. If you like it, if you like,
I would.
I disagree there because I mean, I believe that it can in some way like help people, but like
improve like insulin sensitivity and stuff.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, but at the end of the day, it's like if you want to lose weight, just eat, you know, like a little less and weight train. If anything, I believe fasting could actually be detrimental to bodybuilding because every 2 to 3 hours your muscles go through, you know, your body goes through muscle protein synthesis.
Well, no, I think it's every 24 hours, no? Muscle protein synthesis?
No, it occurs every like two to three hours it happens. So that's why I try to space my protein 2 to 3 hours like apart. That's why I eat so much like during the day. And at the end of the day, it really just does matter how much protein you have. Yes, like if you had two meals and they had your daily protein, the end of the day, is it really switching all that much? Probably not, but I still do think it's important to space your protein out throughout the day for at least like 4 to 5 feedings. That's where I see and my clients see the best results. But fasting,
that's what I would suggest. At least big proteins, like if you eat meat, ground beef, that type of stuff. Dude, I actually agree with you. That's how I know too. Sometimes if you eat meat, it actually is in your stomach for days even. So it's not just 24 hours.
I don't think that.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. You can either argue about opinions or we can either argue like what it is and how it is. You know what I mean? So this is my question that I would bring up, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the whole idea with raw milk, raw dairy products, and just things that are fermented, right? In my opinion, what is it?
Organic. Yeah, organic
and fermented stuff. So me and Georgia grew up in Georgia.
Yeah.
And it was like, we had a cow. My grandma would milk the cow. We would drink that milk, and it wouldn't be boiled to the point where it kills those bacteria. So there would still be a lot of bacteria, in my opinion. We were kids and we were drinking it, and I think one of the things that I've noticed with people growing up in a different country than what I've noticed in America is there's less problems in terms of health, as well as what is it called?
Even the way they look, like the shape they're in.
We're so fat. We're such a fat society, bro. I hate it.
How did I forget? Like, that's just, they have problems with a lot of
obesity?
No, not that, though. What is it?
Is it malnourished? Dude,
I don't know. I'm
blanking on this. He's trying to find a word.
Dude, I'm telling you, when I think about it, you guys will be like, how'd you forget that? Oh.
Heart?
No.
Talking about people in Georgia have problems with this.
No. People that I've like met in America usually have a problem with.
No, he says they don't have a problem in Georgia, they have it here.
Oh, okay. So I don't know being able to like break down stuff, metabolism?
No, bro, it's
trying to guess.
You know Josh has something for pollen?
High cholesterol level?
Oh, allergies.
No, allergies.
Yeah.
How do I forget that, bro? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Allergies. A lot of people have allergies.
Yeah.
And these, in my opinion, I don't think a healthy kid should have allergies because these also come from genetics. That's one.
Oh, yeah.
But also because what the parents eat.
Oh, yeah.
And America 100%. Is known for that type of stuff where, dude, I'm literally reading a personal training book that talks about not eating, I mean, eating low-fat, dairy and low fat food, no saturated fat, these types of stuff, no red meats. It's just a bunch of bullshit.
Oh, no,
it's
I 100%
so when agree. People cereal too. You took a picture, you sent it to me.
Yeah, I did.
Messages.
Remember that?
Yeah, the personal training book, you tell them that. It said something about cereal.
I'll pull up, yeah, exactly.
It said like, cereal. It mentioned like cereal is like better than like.
Oh, yeah, eggs or something like
that. Yeah,
saying, bro, because these studies are funded like by the big companies like.
For propaganda.
Like, you know, Coke and everything. It's like. Because they want you to consume this stuff. It's poison. Yeah. It's addicting. It makes money. You know, it's...
Ready? It's many terrible. Many foods, such as breads and cereals, have been fortified with some nutrients to decrease the risk of vitamin deficiency.
All right, everyone. Let's start eating Lucky Charms for breakfast instead of steak.
I have vitamin deficiency, guys. I need to eat cereal. I need Lucky Charms.
I need those Lucky Charms. Well, I need all my
vitamins.
In order for them to sell that, they have to promote it like that.
The way I see it is business. Because when people start eating this food, they get sick. They go to doctors, and what they prescribe
them medicine. They make money, and then they come back.
Exactly. So that's why they don't want people to drink raw milk. That's why they don't want people to eat... you know, even fast, because they have this idea of fasting, since you lose some of that weight, it's bad. I mean, no, mm-hmm. because it keeps you healthy. That's what it's...
Yeah, no, I mean, when I was saying fasting, I don't believe it's bad, but I'm just saying, like, at the end of the day, it's like another thing where, like, it's just like restricting your calories to lose that weight, you know? Like, you can lose the weight without fasting, is what I'm saying. There's so many different routes to take. It's not a terrible thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've tried fasting before. It just didn't work for me, you know?
And what part didn't work?
I just didn't like being hungry in the morning. Like, I'm someone who's actually like pretty hungry in the morning. So when I get that meal, I feel great. And I'm like ready to tackle the day if I have a good breakfast. Mm-hmm. But now, for some people, all they need is that black coffee and they're feeling great. They're feeling focused, but I don't feel focused and great if I don't have that meal. Like I wake up, I drink, I have like, here's like my routine that I'm getting in. I wake up instantly, get out of bed. You know, open the blind, get some sunlight, makes you feel good, you know?
Yeah.
I go downstairs, open some water, I pour an electrolyte mix in it, because that's like really how you hydrate yourself in the morning.
Yeah.
Drink the water.
Dude, just squeeze lemon in water. That's
salt
the best.
Water.
Yeah, like I literally have like a supplement with like, you know, sodium, magnesium, potassium, hydrate myself.
But that's
feels great.
Better, though.
Yeah, yeah, always, you know, at the end that's of the day, it really doesn't matter. Just, you know, salt, water, you know, just get yourself hydrated. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. And then, you know, I obviously take my medication, but then like, you know, meditate at least like 10 minutes and sit with your thoughts, focus on your breath, set an intention for the day. And I think mindfulness is definitely a thing I've been trying to be a lot more of, especially like even just like being here. I'm in the moment. I'm feeling, you know, you feel the texture of the table, you hear the sounds
nice, right?
around you, you feel the very nice smooth table, you feel the temperature, you just be present in the moment. Because, you know, I struggle with living in the future when I should be grounded here.
You're too much in the future, right?
Yeah.
Some people are too much in the past, too.
Yeah,
it's either one or the other.
Either way is pretty detrimental, you know? I think being present with where you're at now, super important. But then right after I drink, I eat breakfast. And my breakfast is really consistent every single day. It's like 2 to 3 eggs, some lean ground beef. I try to be like grass-fed, obviously. Grass-fed ground beef and either like some rice or potatoes and then like a fruit, you know, and that makes me feel good. And then I get to work, you know, but other people, it doesn't work, you know, and that's why I think fitness is so beautiful, because there's so many ways to go about it. You don't even have to like weight train technically. If you don't like weight training, you can get into like cardio, biking, yoga, tennis. There's so many different options to choose. But I do believe everyone should be doing some sort of resistance training. Yeah, because that's just like, that's how you're going to get toned up for the ladies. That's how you're going to get big for the guys. You know, it's like, that's how, like, resistance training is just overall even just healthy for longevity too. Like, it's in such an amazing thing. Everyone should be doing resistance training in some degree. Mm-hmm. And then, like, then you can start to get niched in it, especially if you want to build, like, a nice physique. That's what I work on, you know? Like, I'm specifically focused on building guys' physiques up in, like, a way that they're, like, looking aesthetic. They're feeling good, you know? Because I believe when you look good, that you feel good. So when I program, like, I have, like, three different, like, distinct phases that I do when I coach. And like the first like weeks, like 1 through 4, you know, that's kind of just getting them adapted. That's learning what they eat and like creating the plan that I need to for them to follow. And it's like, I teach, you know, I don't just give. I don't give a meal plan because I don't think that teaches people. You know, you teach them about the macros. You know, because a lot of people go over fat. And I got a lot of my bulking guys, they eat so much fat. And it's like from cheese, I'm like, no, we don't want to do this because when you eat fat, especially in like such a large surplus, it's so much easy to convert the fat to body fat. When if you like eat a surplus of like more carbs and protein, they have to go through a process to get converted into fat. So that's why I like to keep my fats, you know, on the lower side. But
I have a question too about like fats as well, because I feel like a lot of people don't really have the right ability to kind of like burn fats the right way. I feel like that's what people, a lot of people are missing, like the metabolic dysfunction, especially like overweight people, especially.
I agree 100%. Because that's the problem.
I went through a phase a couple months ago, a little bit before 75 Hard, and the first half of it, I did like this phase where I was doing like super low carb, like 60 grams to like 120 grams of carbs a day, depending on like my training, like if I did super intense or not.
That would be considered keto, right? Keto diet?
No, keto's like a little bit more lower. It's like lower than 60, probably 50 grams. Mm-hmm. So I was like, some days I would do keto. Like I would do maybe 30. Like I was just testing things out. And I was like, my fats were like 200, 250 sometimes. And they're all healthy. Like I ate super clean. I was fasting.
Butter, avocado.
All this stuff. Yeah, just super, super clean. And I was just super, just like super shredded. But I felt like I was like able to just burn fat like super quickly just because that was the fuel source that I gave my body and stuff like that. Do you feel like people like kind of don't have like the right, like do you feel like there's some people are not able to burn fats correctly, or what do you think?
Metabolic dysfunction.
I don't know. That's such a, like an interesting thing, like burn fats correctly or like
burn our body uses fat as fuel for energy instead of carbohydrates.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, what's the thing that's going to happen? If you're in a keto diet and you are eating at your maintenance weight or maintenance calories, you're still going to maintain that weight. 100%. It's just a lot easier to be in a deficit on a keto diet. So at the end of the day, I was losing weight pound per week, looking great, and I was having like 200 grams of carbs per day. So no, it's not a metabolic dysfunction. It's called you're just not eating less than you're burning off. See how simple it is?
But would you say your body's capable of doing... Look, would you say that your body actually has the capability to burn the fat without you having to go on a cardio machine, which is through fasting? Do you believe that part?
Yeah, you don't need cardio to lose fat.
No, I'm just saying like that would be one of the examples, in my opinion, as metabolic function. A proper metabolic function is people... I think people are not one educated in this or don't even think about what our body's actually capable of doing and how it's able to adapt to very, very different things, such as low carb, sometimes having high carb and being okay with it, not getting brain fog, and being able to do both with your body able to handle it. Because some people, when they're not used to eating carbs and they have a lot of carbs, let's say, they get brain fog, they don't really feel good. But then there's this side of people where even if they have low carbs or high carbs, it kind of like doesn't matter for them how they feel, because their body is able to handle both.
I suppose with athletes too. Athletes are really good at that.
I would say athletes are amazing at that.
I think athletes need carbs, to be honest. I think body.
Well, carbs are not the problem. Like, I'm not saying carbs are bad at 100%. All.
Your body not being used to process a lot of carbs or low carbs and not being okay with the other. Same with you, not being able to function in the morning without breakfast. That's what I would challenge you on is, I think it's not a problem of not working for you, but it's just the fact that you were, I guess, addicted to eating food in the morning, because people need to wake up and eat food right away. If they don't do that, they don't function right.
But what's the problem with eating food right away if it's working for me?
No, I'm not saying it's not working for you, but I think people get into how it makes me feel rather than like what's actually good for your gut. What does your body want? Does your body want you to wake up right away and just eat food, shove food into your stomach? Because we have living organisms like these, they need to wake up, you know, properly. Like first you drink water.
They don't need to wake up. They're simple organisms.
But you don't, I'm not talking about like actual sleeping and stuff, but I mean when you're in your sleep and when you wake up, your organs and your body functions very different.
It's slower. So it's slower than
it's like usually. That's why in my opinion, it's not the healthiest thing to eat late at night, just because your body goes into state, like melatonin is produced. When melatonin is produced, it sends the signals in your body that now your organs go to sleep type of thing, meaning that they're not able to break down the food as properly as it would when you're awake, sharp. So these are the signals that's being sent. So when you wake up right away, and obviously your brain's not in the same state of mind when you're asleep than when you're awake. So that's when your organs, when the signal is being transferred, that shoving down food in your stomach right away, I don't think is the best way. And it didn't make you feel good, in my opinion, because you were just addicted to eating food right away. People mm-hmm. are. I think people are addicted to food rather than needing to eat food. That's mm-hmm. when fasting comes in.
Okay. Can I be completely honest with you for a second?
Yeah, for sure, dude.
So you guys both want to be fitness coaches, right?
Yeah.
You're going to scare a lot of people off if you bring up this kind of stuff.
Well, scaring people doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. You can scare somebody with truth. Doesn't mean that the truth isn't there. You know what I'm trying to say?
I understand, so but like
isn't the issue, is it?
At the same time, you need to meet people where they are at. 100%. And like you can like scare them with this, but it's like if someone cannot maintain like fasting or whatever, you know, that you need to provide this information in a way that isn't like you have to do this. And I know that's not what you're trying to say, but you also need to understand where they are at in their position and make little changes to make it so easy for them to understand, because all this stuff at the end of the day is so nuanced. You know, it's like you're
do you think that's something I would tell a new client that just is, let's say, overweight and just wants to cut down? I would be like, you're fast or else it's not gonna work. Obviously not. I'm telling you this because you know this. Like, I mean, you're not gonna be hurt by this stuff because you know, it's not like it's like when you're approaching a certain person, you need to know how to talk to them and stuff.
100%.
Obviously I wouldn't tell my client the way I'm telling you things. The reason why I'm telling you things is because, one, I know you, and the two, you know, you're in shape, all that kind of stuff. You understand this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I understand maybe me saying addicted and stuff, you probably took it the wrong way, but in reality that's just how it is. I'll be honest, if I had to wake, because I used to be at that point where I would wake up and I would need to eat, bro. Like, I'm telling you, I would need to eat. That's just not
healthy.
But
if you're eating like good stuff,
no.
Is it really that bad?
Ready? You wake up, your body wakes up and you're just like, food. In my opinion, that's just an addiction for food. Food should be an energy source, which people don't understand.
I mean, we are.
People think that food just has to be something that makes you feel good all the time.
It's not. I think you need to
differentiate those two and be able to use food what it's actually given for, rather than using it for just self-pleasure. That's why people go into overeating.
Yeah, I agree. I agree and disagree on points. Sure. Like, I do believe, food's like an energy source. You know, you got to fuel your body properly.
Yeah.
We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
I believe that to sustain, you know, a diet for a long period of time, because food is also culture. I hate restrictive diets because I've been through so much restrictive dieting myself. I've worked with people who have been restrictive dieting and they yo-yo diet, they come back up. And I know you guys are like very strong-willed and strong disciplined people to where like you can control that, but a lot of the population simply cannot. And like I will admit, like, yes, like I like to eat for pleasure at times. And I think people, like, that is not a terrible thing as long as you keep it in moderation. And that's why I'm big on 80-20 is like 80%, boom, like, you know, good food that you should be eating for yourself, you know? But like at the same time, 20%, like say your kids, you know, it's like a birthday party or something and there's like a cupcake there or something, like have that cupcake, dude. Like live that sustainable lifestyle. You don't have to be that person, because I know what it feels like to be that person where I would like say, no, like I can't have that. I can't have this because it's poison and everything. But at the same time, it's like, live a little, you know, have like enjoy your life, because you can maintain like a balance of everything. Because when you go all in with like this health and fitness stuff, you're also sacrificing the social aspect. And I know you guys are willing to do that. I'm also willing to do that because I'm a bodybuilder. But when it comes to the majority of the population, it's more so teaching them that, like, yes, it is okay to have this as well. And when I, you know, I will have my clients drop like literal 20 pounds. One of my guys, like Jeremy, he literally dropped like 20 pounds and he was like, yeah, I had like a KFC chicken sandwich the other day and the rest of my day was really good. I'm like, okay, like that one KFC sandwich isn't going to kill you. And I believe that so many people in the fitness industry, not talking about you, have this like all or nothing mentality where it's like, if you're going to do cardio, you have to send it, you know? And in reality, you just got to walk a little more.
Or, did it come out like that?
No. Okay. I'm talking more in the fitness industry where it's like all or nothing. No. I'm kind of just like sidetracking now. I'm just like the importance of moderation and like, you know, you need to live a sustainable lifestyle. Because when I was doing 75 hard, like I restricted sweets. So the thing that was on my mind all the time was sweets. Like, when can I have my ice cream? When can I have this and that? And it's just like, I would have rather just had ice cream, like, you know, maybe at the end of the day, have like a little bit of like Halo Top, and work it into my diet, opposed to completely taking it out. And then at the end of the challenge, when I finally lift that restriction up on sweets, then all you think about is eating that, you know. It's just like, same thing happened to me when I was off prep. It was like, I just was like eating so much because I restricted, you know, so much when I should have worked it a little bit into my diet. Maybe in my end, that's a discipline thing, but I don't think anyone should feel shamed for, say, like, or guilty, like a lot of people make it out to be. Not you guys, but yeah. A lot of people make it out to be where if you have this, you should feel bad, you know? And mm-hmm. then it just starts spiraling out, and it's, people are so afraid of fitness because of what people in the, you know, gym in the industry make it out to be.
You know? I think you're right, Lance, too. It's like, I agree with that. I think there comes to a point that, like, when we have to, like, look at food, though, for, like, what is food, and right? If, for example, like, my mindset when it comes to food, like, me looking at a cupcake, for example, or, like, a cookie, sometimes I'm just, like, if I were to look at the ingredients, sometimes I'm just, like, this isn't food, like, in my opinion. And that's just, like, with sweets, and, like, I don't really, like, crave sweets or crave things like that, or, like, I don't really, like, look at a cookie and think, oh, I really, really want this. And that's just maybe, like, be, like, just me.
No, dude, I'm the same way.
Like,
I used to be different.
I don't look at, like, I don't, like, diet. Like, I just eat. Like, you know what I mean? I just eat, like, normal foods and stuff like that. I wouldn't want to call it a diet. And that's, like, what I kind of want to preach more is, like, this isn't restrictive. This is just, people should just eat whole foods. That's just, like, whole foods isn't restrictive. Like,
eating 100%. Natural whole foods. I agree.
Et cetera.
I agree.
And that KFC chicken sandwich, like, I agree. It's not going to kill you. Yeah. But just, like,
it's not going to do your favorite.
It's
either.
Almost like, standards too. It's like, once you let something slip, once you let something like slip, like, once, it could be a down spiral or it couldn't, right? You got to catch yourself. Just mm-hmm. like people, like, when have you ever had people who kind of slip up on their diets and then they like end up on a down spiral sometimes?
Yeah
Like, how come that happens? Like, how come you, like,
well, it's because they feel bad. Mm-hmm. They feel bad because the coach usually shames them. Mm. And then they're like, oh, well, I'm just not going to tell
them. How do they shame them? If
you know, it's like, well, why did you have that? You went off your plan. Why did you do that? You can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And then what happens when someone is told that they can't?
Yeah, it sounds like you're in prison.
Ready? This is a thing I like to do. Don't think of the white elephant. Don't think of the white elephant.
I have a pink elephant in my mind.
But what you must have thought of a white elephant, because I told you not to do. Yeah. When we're told as kids, do not touch the stove. Bam, what happens? We want to touch the stove. So when we're told, and this is just basic human psychology, not to do something, then we're going to do it. And then especially, like, when it comes to food, when people get shamed and, you know, you start to feel bad, then you're like, oh, what's the point? I'm just going to do it again. And so, like, if I was a coach who was like, yeah, why, never do that again. Like, come on.
Yeah, because you're better than this. I think the better approach is, you can't do it because this is what's going to happen. Like what you said, you might go down the spiral and stuff. So
I slightly disagree with that, because I think the best way to handle a situation like that, because everyone's going to mess up. Everyone's mm-hmm. going to, you know, say he gets the KFC. It's like, okay, well, you did so well this other part of the week. It's like, you can have that, you know. It's not a terrible thing, you know. It's obviously, like, yes, try to add more whole foods into the diet, but the last thing I want to do is say, oh, well, you can't, don't do that again, you know. Like, why are you doing that, you know? It's just like, if it becomes a consistent issue, then we can talk a little bit more. But if it happens one time, I'm just like, okay, just get back to it, you know. Good You didn't have to, like, restrict your diet, and I don't make them feel bad, and then they mm-hmm. usually just get back into it, you know. Sometimes, like, We go to food for pleasure, and that's not, like, the most terrible thing. Like, food connects people. Food's, like, a cultural thing. And granted, like, yes, whole foods is so important to add to your diet. But at the end of the day, should you feel shame or guilt for eating something like a KFC sandwich or a pizza with your family? Like, no.
Well, also, and depends how we look at guilt and shame. I don't look at guilt and shame as such a negative thing. Some people do. Like, I'm telling you, people can be such snowflakes that because you tell them to not eat KFC, they break down and get so emotional that you just told them not to do something. I'm telling you, it's like that. People
are so caught up in their feelings, what makes them feel good, that nobody should tell them, hey, like, I don't think you should eat KFC. Not because you shouldn't enjoy yourself. That's not the idea. But we need to explain to people properly that the cookie on the counter that has 100 ingredients isn't food. It just isn't. What, like, literally, have you seen what they do with
food?
Oh,
yeah, no, I completely agree with you.
Just a bunch of nothing. And then, a bunch of, you know, flour-looking type thing. Yeah. It's made into a cookie.
Yeah, it's a cookie. It's made in a factory. Cookies, it's terrible.
He's like flour, water with chocolate, sugar. Like, that's all it should be.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
When it's three-ingredient food that has 100 ingredients, it just doesn't make sense. Why should that be the case, right?
I 100%
agree.
So when
we educate people properly, then they have an understanding that what they're eating isn't food, therefore, mm-hmm. why should they have it?
Yeah, no, I completely
agree. Rather than enjoying themselves.
I 100% agree.
Too. Like, they don't want to go home and cook. What they do is they go and buy from Wawa or whatever. They go like, I worked out. It's nothing bad. I mean, yeah, but at the same time, you can go home and cook healthy food.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to fill you up more and it's going to be more, better for your body.
I 100% agree there. And I think with a more education bias on like why whole foods are so important to you and why this processed stuff isn't as good for you is super important. But at the end of the day, like my point still stands that like you can still have that processed food with knowing that it's not amazing for you and you should just have it and move on with your life. Because I think the spiraling out that you mentioned, Mike, and this comes from 2.5 years of experience, is I've ran restrictive diets like that and everyone will break down. Like, not everyone is so like strong will and disciplined. So that's why you have to meet them where they're at. So I'll use this as an example. And I think you guys will agree with this as well, is when say someone has an addiction to soda, you know, they're just drinking soda, like 3 cans a day, so much soda. What, you know, like obviously they know it's bad for them. You don't really have to tell them
with alcohol.
Yeah.
And stuff.
This stuff will give you diabetes. You know, it's terrible for you. So, The wrong way to approach a situation like that is to say, okay, I'm going to stop drinking soda. We're going to go on a cold turkey. And there's like a few different ways. You can do cold turkey. You can do like limit soda. But even at the same time, I feel like by adding in something, like this is my like philosophy of adding, not subtracting, is adding in a goal to their diet. So say if they're drinking so much soda, what are they probably not drinking enough of?
Water.
So that's where we step in an addition. Set it as a goal to, hey, let's hit half a gallon of water a day. And then as that half a gallon of water gets a lot more, you know, to like a gallon of water, they're going to subconsciously stop drinking less soda because they're so focused on that water goal that the soda just kind of fades out. And then if they still have a soda from time to time, it's not the end of the world. Because I started by saying, instead of like you can't have soda, to let's add water into your diet, because I believe that for 90% of people will make the most meaningful changes. And then once they become more advanced, yes, let's try to remove the soda from the diet, because again, this comes from like as soon as you're told that you can't have something, because you know that really like hurts the relationship with a client and a coach too. And you guys are going to learn this when you really start, is like if you're like, dude, like stop doing that, like why are you having that, instead of like, you know, diving deep into like what was the reason they had it in the first place and why are they having
a lot of
this.
Yeah, I think that's very important.
Yeah, it's you understand
their own motivations and where they derive like meaning or like pain and pleasure from.
Yeah, but especially because you can't be with your client 24/7. I mean, even online, it's like I trust that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And if I'm constantly like shaming them for people who just keep messing up, you know, then they're not gonna talk to me. They're gonna hide what they're doing because they feel that it's that negative reinforcement of like, oh, if I tell you, you're just gonna shame me, and I don't want to feel like crap. Even though maybe they need to feel like that, maybe they need to do that, but that's not gonna provide any meaningful results because I just shamed my client for something, you know, that he did, instead of just coaching him through it. You know, because good coaches will work with their client exactly where they're at, and they're gonna make these meaningful changes and work as like, you need to be an empathetic person. You need to understand, you need to be able to put yourself in other people's shoes, or you're not going to be a good coach for most people. I mean, some people really do that, need that like rough coaching, and like I can provide that. But you know, if I'm working with like, you know, just a general guy, it's like, I just want to look better. I want to feel better. And I just want to like get in shape, you know? And it's just like, I don't need to be crazy on them, like a crazy coach. I want to make sure they're feeling educated leaving. I want to make sure they have a good experience overall, instead of just like, oh yeah, he's like such a rough coach and it just wasn't a good experience, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you can have a combination of whatever you just said, like being strict and being understanding, is probably the best thing, that like best coach you can be.
Oh,
if you can find that balance with every single person,
definitely,
probably, you know, the best results that you can give your clients. Because I think, you know, going to a client where you're too soft with them, they will never learn. But then being too strict will take them away from the goals itself.
Yeah, no, so, and that's
got to keep the balance.
No, 100%. I believe that. For me, I found that perfect balance. And that's why the people I work with see great results, because I am strict when I need to be, but I'm also empathetic when people are dealing with certain things in life, you know, like, cause I'll have people who, you know, will kind of like fade off for a bit. I'm like, yo, what's going on? Like, you know, I stay on them, but you know, there's things going on in people's lives constantly that you don't know about. And then once I know about it, I'm like, okay, well, like, what's the first step? Now you're like, what's the first step into, you know, you eating healthier again? You know, what's the first step into you getting back into the gym? You know, it's just, it's little things like that that really mean a lot to that client, because it shows that you care. You're not just a robot. Where I'm a human too, because when people see like the Instagram and everything, they see how these people are eating so perfect. But when I do my full day of eating, I'll literally like say to someone, my mom made like cookies or whatever, and like obviously like I wouldn't make them myself, but my mom made them. So I literally documented what I ate in the day. And I was like, I had my eggs and then I had a quarter of a cookie, because why not? Because that also shows that I am a human. I mess up. I've always loved food.
I bet the whole cookie was amazing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Compared to what they sell.
Yeah, I agree.
Giant Acme and all the other stuff.
I 100% agree with what you say. We're like, oh my God, this stuff is so processed, when it literally should be flour, sugar, and like, a, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that would be a different story. That would be a different story.
Oh, that would be such a different story. So I do agree. The ultra processed foods, like, it's terrible. We need to like somehow fix that. But I'm worried more on like fixing people individually right now, instead of on a wider scale.
There's no cookie cutter program or like things like that.
System. They're always going to have that type.
Exactly. So you just got to make the right choices, and you need to be educated and do it yourself, you know, or have someone help you go through that, because you know, you're not taught the most important things. Like, you're taught about it in school, but you're taught like the food pyramid in school, which is like 80% of your diet should come from grains and all this stuff. I'm like, nah, bro.
There should be 50% of your plate should be fruits and vegetables.
And it should be like, dude, you're
where's the other 50?
Dude, the red meat's so bad. Red meat gives you cancer. Red meat, I love red meat, bro. I eat more like steak, beef than like I do chicken, because I feel good from it. Exactly. I feel so good from beef.
You feel like the cow you just ate.
Exactly.
Powerful.
Yeah, powerful.
You just had food.
Yeah, exactly.
Real food.
But yeah, do you guys have any other questions or anything?
It's 12:29 right now.
Yeah, we have like 5 minutes.
We can start like wrapping it up with like the questions.
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
And then we can always have you on again, Lance.
Oh, I mean, of course,
any time. Like, we love having these conversations and stuff.
We appreciate you coming on.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. I'm sure when someone watches, like, they're going to relate to, like,
I think it's
with everything that we all said and stuff
I
like
think
that.
It's so important, like, going back and forth with you guys in a smart and like controlled manner, because like I don't agree with everything that you guys say, and you don't agree with everything
and that's
I
perfectly
say,
fine.
And I think that's
why
great
we come here
we
and discuss
to,
this, right?
Yeah, that's exactly why, because we do have different views on certain things, and I think it's important to talk about it, you know?
Exactly.
But yeah, let's wrap it.
Let me just give you, so last time you were on, we asked the guests three questions.
Yeah.
Three questions, they're really short, I mean, a little bit open-ended, and then we asked a question from the previous guest to ask you, and then you'll ask a question for the next guest, okay?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, let me pull it up real quick.
And then we can do Christian culture.
That won't take long.
Thing.
All right, Lance.
Yeah.
What is one thing you wish you knew earlier in life?
One thing I wish I knew earlier in life. Be happy with where you are at, because your chapter. How do I say this? Be happy with where you're at, because everyone's a different. No, but not be comfortable, but understand, like, celebrate where you're at. Be present. Be grounded and be like happy with where you are at, because it's so easy to get lost in what you want to be. And I feel like that's an important thing that I've been learning. Like, when I hit these new goals, like, celebrate, bask in that moment, instead of being like, oh, I need to get right here, because then you're never going to feel great, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like a constant feeling of I'm a failure. So yeah. I think I really wish I knew to be more grounded and present in current day life, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's like you understand there's so many things that you need to get done, but then there's also so many things that you have today
that exactly that you should, be grateful. Be so grateful for where you're at. Uh-huh.
That's great. It's a great answer. Mm-hmm. Number two, if you had to give one piece of advice to the world, to the whole entire world, if you had a microphone and you could go in anyone's ear and tell them something, what would it be?
Advice. Get uncomfortable. Stay hungry.
Get uncomfortable.
Stay hungry.
Imagine like the whole world, you just get uncomfortable.
Get uncomfortable. Stay hungry.
Dude,
no, that's so true. It's such a simple thing because it's like never stay like, you know, in a comfort state because you're never going to grow. If I could tell everyone that, it's like stay uncomfortable, always, you know, keep shooting for the next thing. But again, that pairs with my first thing of like,
yeah,
you know, bask in the good moments. Don't always like be in the future.
Mm-hmm. It's like you need to tell people not what they want, but what they need to hear. So that's not something that they would want to hear, but that's something they need to hear, dude.
Yep.
It's great. Number three, what is the biggest issue we face as a society and how can we work to solve it?
Whew. Jeez. I would say just overall health, especially as society in America is like our health is so bad. And I think we're making decent steps in the right direction. I believe that more education around the simpler things. Like we're minimizing seed oils and stuff, which I think is important. But I think if more people just like literally moved more and ate less, as simple as it is, it's the truth. Like if you just, if you moved more, I feel like more community access to gyms, you know, like, and just like promoting movement, more healthcare workers of like, you know, preventative healthcare workers like us, like more coaches out there, just more access to it, to gyms and more education to it. I think we could definitely help. And then, you know, more access to Whole Foods and just, you know, less fast food. Like, I feel like the big corporations are where this all went.
Accessibility
wrong.
Is huge, man. It's so right in front of our faces, so everything. Yeah, so. Commercials, other people on the internet. It's totally.
Dude, I literally read it in the book this morning. It's a personal training book, and it literally said that if you just simply cut down your calories and just worked out in a week, at least, we're just going to say at least 1 pound. And that accumulates and makes a difference.
Exactly.
And people overlook that. If you just do that for weeks and months, dude, you're going to see so much progress by just moving and eating less.
Yeah. And that comes another thing, like the solution to solve the problem of like obesity and everything is like, stop thinking it's such like a 0 to 100 thing. Like everyone starts, I have to go 6 times a week. I have to follow this strict diet. Like, no, start with where you're at. If you're going 0 times, go 2 times, 1 time.
Yeah.
Then go 2 times, go 3 times. Like anything is better than nothing. And if we could all just gradually take those steps where we're at, like I'd rather have someone work out 3 times a week for a year than 6 times a week for like 6 months and completely stop.
Because,
you know, that 3 time per week person's going to continue that. And they're in all, if they have the same sessions, you know, over time. But that 3 times per week person proved that they can stay consistent through the year. And they'll probably stay consistent through the next year and the next and the next. It's like, stop going so all in. Stop starving yourself at different points of the year so you can binge during the holiday. Like, it's stupid. It should be 365. There is no challenge. It's just like, it's life, you know?
Dude, it's great. When I started 75 Hard, I saw this video by David Goggins as soon as I started. He said, screw those challenges. Screw those 75 days. I'm 365.
Yeah, he's like, 365.
David, I'm already in this, man. Why are you saying this to me now?
Sounds so like him.
Yeah. Okay, so you said there's one
last
more question.
Last question.
Yeah.
This is from the previous guest. His name is Jaden. He said, if money was not involved or not a factor, what would you do for the rest of your life to find happiness?
If I had all the money in the world and could do whatever
money
I want.
Money was not a factor. Like, money just did not exist. But you had
then
freedom.
I just did whatever I want?
Yeah.
Dude, what would be one thing?
To find happiness.
I probably just working out.
But not be uncomfortable. But to be uncomfortable.
Literally just, like, exercising. Okay. Like, I love the gym so much. Like, I love the feeling of lifting weights.
Me too, bro.
I love the feeling of lifting weights. I love the pump that I get. Yeah, so if no money existed or anything, I would just like work out for fun.
What'd your job be if you had to work a job for no money?
Online coaching.
Yeah,
good. You know,
what you're doing now.
I was doing that for free even before I started, man. I just love getting people in shape. It's such a fun thing, you know. So I do what I love.
You're already doing what you love. That's a great
thing,
man.
Yeah.
And you realize that you trust people's lives and health, dude. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing.
Exactly. It's great. People are putting their trust in me. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. And then you need to ask the next guest a question. Anything. Open-ended. Make them think. Oof. Make them think.
Yeah. What you think? Yeah, you know what's funny? There's a question here. What is wisdom and how do you gain it? Maybe ask that question, bro.
I like that. What is wisdom and how do you gain it? I think that's a good one.
And how?
Because we were supposed to answer, but we're kind of short on the time.
Yeah, so we are.
We have the guest.
Yeah, we'll do that next time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, do you guys have an outro? You guys usually say.
Yeah.
Let's just go. Really fast. Because you need to go. So, quarter of the day. Lance, you want to share that for us?
Yeah. Quarter of the day.
Does it say shout out? Listening to this while going to work hit different. Okay, I mean, that is not the quote of the day.
You give me the shout out. You give me the shout out. You give me the shout out.
We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance.
Galatians 6:9. It's a Bible verse.
Yeah, I love it. So shout out, listening to this while going to work hit different at Living with Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Now you're listening to us.
All right. Well,
thank you, Lance. I really appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, no, thank you guys. You guys so much for having me on. You guys are great. I love what you guys are doing. I would 100% go on for.
We have you on again, right?
Oh, 100%.
We have him on again.
Yep.
Yo, do you remember our closing statement? Think big.
Think big, bros. Think big.
Think big.
I don't remember.
Think big. Grow big.
Think big. Grow big.
Yep. I love it.
Okay.
Peace.